Hey friends, I had to jump in before today's episode to tell you that our Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales at West Coast Catholic goes live this Friday. And honestly, this is one that you don't want to miss. Mark your calendars. This is our biggest sale of the year. From November 28th to December 2nd, everything on our site will be up to 50% off. Yes, you heard that right. Which means if you've been waiting for the right moment to finally grab a few things from our shop, this is it. And with Advent right around the corner, it's the perfect time to grab those festive pieces like our wreath stand and beeswax candles, our beautiful nativity set to add to your home during the Christmas and Advent season. Or if you've been eyeing something else, like one of our stunning gemstone rosaries, our elegant jewelry pieces, or cozy sweatshirts, this is your moment to snag it at the best price of the year. And the best part is that we're dropping a new exclusive deal every single day of the sale. And these are actually good, you guys. They stack on top of the site-wide sale. And hence, some of these daily deals are first come, first serve, and always go fast. So make sure that you're part of our West Coast Catholic text club to be the first to be notified. The link to sign up for that is in the show notes. If you're wanting to gift Catholic this Christmas, this is truly the perfect time to shop. Beautiful, meaningful, intentional gifts for every person on your list at the best prices we offer. Just head to westcoastcatholic.co and enjoy up to 50% off through December 2nd. Plus, those surprise daily deals. Trust me, you're going to want to see these deals. All right, let's get to the episode. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Back to Ever Be. Happy Wednesday. Today we're going to talk about Advent, which just makes me so excited and giddy because it's the best time of the year. Those weeks leading up to Christmas are just so exciting and cozy. And I love that our church has a whole season dedicated to that anticipation, waiting for Jesus's birth. And the reason I wanted to talk about Advent today is because I actually got several messages on social media of people asking me questions about it. And I guess I didn't realize that maybe a lot of people don't know how to live Advent out in their homes, like outside of what happens in Sunday Mass, right? And so I had some people ask like, oh, I didn't even think of putting candles in my house for Advent, or like, what kind of traditions do you have during Advent? I'm a new Catholic. So I thought it'd be fun to just share what is this liturgical season all about and do a little bit of an educational episode on this season and share some of the traditions that our church has and what you can do in your home to live a really beautiful Advent season. I just absolutely love that feeling right after Thanksgiving when our world just explodes into Christmas overnight, because we usually don't set up for Christmas until after Thanksgiving. And so it's like we go from literally like pumpkin pie to peppermint lattes in about 5 seconds after Thanksgiving. And now I know a lot of you probably already are on the peppermint latte train and you have your Christmas trees up and everything. And I don't judge anyone that puts it up in November, but I do feel like we need to allow fall to extend a little bit more. And personally, I just can't really have Thanksgiving with a Christmas tree up in my dining room, because then it just feels like a Christmas meal. You know what I mean? So I like to give Thanksgiving its own moment. And then I like to give Advent and the preparation of my home for the baby Jesus being born its moment. And then Christmas has its own season too in our church. So let's just dive in how to live Advent, not just decorate for it as Catholics, right? Let's talk about what the season actually means, how you can bring it into your home and family, and just ways that you can actually prepare your heart to receive Christ with deeper joy this Christmas. At the core of Advent, it is a season of waiting and preparing. And we're waiting for two things. We're waiting for Jesus's birth in Bethlehem, but we're also preparing our souls and waiting for him to come again at the end of time. So his second coming. And the church calls it a time of hopeful expectation. It's kind of that feeling of like holding your breath and that waiting that's just full of promise and beauty, not anxiety. And if you think about it, nobody models that emotion and that feeling better than Mary, because she lived Advent in her very being, in her body, literally carrying the Savior of the world, waiting in her hiddenness and trusting in what she could not see yet and not knowing what the plan was that the Lord had in store for her. Her entire posture was one of surrender and quiet faith. And so I often ask myself during Advent, what would it look like for me to wait like Mary did? Not to rush or fill every moment of the season, but to actually slow down, to be prayerful, to prepare, and to just ponder the gift of Christ in my heart and how I can prepare for his second coming. And this liturgical season is marked with the color purple, which usually is tied to penance, which is funny because I feel like in this like holiday season, right, the Christmas rush we're all in at this point, we don't think about that at all. And we're actually supposed to include some sort of penance and increased prayer in our Advent season. Not in the same way that Lent is, where Lent is a little bit like taken to the next level, but in a smaller way, how are we basically like purifying our hearts and our souls, again, to be prepared for Christ's coming? So something that I always do is I add some sort of prayer practice during this season. Usually I do a devotional either with Ascension or I do a Hallow prayer app challenge. This year I'm going to be doing Ascension's Waiting Well program with Father Mike Schmitz. It's like this video series that he has every day where he gives you like little video reflections. And for me, I've done it the past couple years. And it's such a good way to add some prayer and reflection every day into my Advent season, so it doesn't just slip away from me. So what does Advent look like in our homes? You want to think of your home as a little reflection of the church, right? It's your own domestic church. And when we intentionally live the liturgical seasons at home, we start to shape that environment that points everyone in our home towards heaven. And so the focal point in our home during Advent should be the Advent wreath, just like we have one in every Catholic church during this liturgical season. Each candle holds different meaning: hope, peace, joy, love, all of them leading us closer to Christmas for Christ's birth. And lighting it each Sunday and praying a short prayer along with it helps your family see the light of Christ growing week by week. Pretty literally, right? Because every week you add a candle to light. And so eventually at the end, your whole wreath will be lit. I know some families like to add a little white candle in the middle as well and have that be their Christmas candle. So that's like the final candle that they light on Christmas Day. And if you don't have an Advent wreath stand or candles that you really like, I spent a long time looking for one the last few years of just our first couple years of marriage. I wanted a really beautiful one for our home to have it be the center of Advent. And I never found one that I loved. And I just decided to design it. And so we have it in our Christmas market this year. I hope by the time this episode releases, it is still in stock, because I know they're already selling super quickly. So hopefully it's still in stock. It's the stand and the candles. The candles are these pillar candles that are thick and they're gorgeous. I made sure the colors were like a really aesthetic kind of muted colors, so that it wasn't like too bright in your home, but really matched just a beautiful kind of earthy toned home aesthetic, which is just kind of what I go for in my house. And the candles are 100% beeswax, which I know is really important to some people. And that also makes it really high quality wax, which means that the burn is so much slower. So the tallest candle in the set literally has 100 hours burn time. So I know for us, we always worried about lighting our candles at every dinner. Like we wanted to, but then we always worried that they would drip and like burn out too quickly. And so I really wanted to make sure that these candles had long lasting burn times so that you could light them all season long without worrying about them running out too early. And that you can shop at westcoastcatholic.co. We'll make sure to link it in the show notes as well, because you won't find it anywhere else. It's absolutely stunning. It doesn't come with like the greenery, because I like to do fresh greenery. I get it from Trader Joe's, like some evergreen leaves and sometimes even some olive branches or eucalyptus. I kind of like to mix in different greeneries. And this year, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy green floral foam, because I tried it with hydrangeas over the summer where I stuck hydrangeas into this green floral foam. And if you know anything about hydrangeas, they don't last very long and like they die really easily. These hydrangeas lasted me like 3 weeks and they were perfect. And I barely had to water them. So it was pretty much a floral miracle. So I'm going to get that floral foam again because I think that's what did the trick. And I'm going to do the floral foam in a like wreath, you know, like in a circle. And I'm going to connect it on the end. And then I'm going to soak it in water, put it on the stand, and stick the evergreen branches kind of around that and throughout that and kind of try and stick it in the foam to see if that kind of keeps it alive for longer. But you also can absolutely just buy a regular faux wreath and just set it on the stand as well. And it'll look great. The next big important thing that you're going to want to have in your home during Advent and Christmas is a nativity set. And what we like to do, and this is what I always did growing up, was to set up the whole manger scene, but leave baby Jesus out until Christmas Eve. This is just like a little act of waiting that we can do. Even just seeing that empty manger throughout the season reminds us that this whole season is pointing towards Christ and his birth. And I know for me as a little kid, that was huge. That was a huge reminder of what Christmas was actually all about. And granted, I did try and always like find where my mom would hide the baby Jesus around the house because I just wanted to put him out on the manger. But it always reminded me like, this is what the season's for. It's that hopeful anticipation. It's that excitement for the birth of Jesus. And we're preparing our hearts to welcome him on Christmas Day. You also can find a stunning nativity set at West Coast Catholic. I'm sorry, I just have to plug these things. One, because obviously it's my business, but two, because they're actually so beautiful and so aesthetic. So I want you to have them. Okay, another symbol of Advent, which actually my family has never done, but I have heard some about it, is the Jesse tree. And so each ornament of the Jesse tree is supposed to tell a part of salvation history from Adam and Eve to Mary and Joseph. And it's a beautiful way to trace God's promise of redemption and to see how long he's been preparing our hearts for his son since way before even Mary was on earth. So those are just a few ways that you can bring Advent into your home. There's also just another couple like practices some people do that you can or don't have to adopt. Some people don't listen to Christmas music until Christmas, which I know for this day and age is a huge challenge. I don't personally subscribe to that, but I respect anyone who does. And there's no like church rule, you know, that says we can't listen to Christmas music early. But if it helps you get into the Advent spirit, there are hymns like O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And I believe at this point, there's literally probably Advent playlists on Spotify that can just help you kind of feel that longing of the season of Christmas in your soul and help you really enter into that Advent spirit if you want.
Can I just say something? Switching to non-toxic products can be expensive, and it's hard to try a new brand out when the price tag is stretching the budget a little bit. But can I also say something else? I'm sick of every beauty brand being filled with hormone-disrupting and cancer-causing ingredients, so to me, it's really important to make the effort where I can. But I have good news for you, friend, because Black Friday begins right now. The only non-toxic makeup and skincare brand that I use that actually performs like luxury-level beauty products without the harmful ingredients is running a major sale right now, up to 50% off all skincare products. So, either if you want to try Crunchy for the first time or you're ready to stock up on your favorite clean beauty products, now is the time. I recommend you shop early in the sale because things sell out every year. You can go to crunchy.com/Mari Wagner or just find the link in the show notes to start your clean beauty journey. And if you want specific recommendations on your skincare, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at mari.c.wagner, and I'll be happy to help you find the right routine for you.
There's a Christian revival happening right now. God is moving in hearts all around the world. And one app that's been such a beautiful part of this is Hallow, with over 23 million downloads helping people grow closer to God through prayer. This month, Hallow is teaming up with the YouVersion Bible app and other Christian organizations for Global Bible Month. Yeah, you heard that right. A worldwide invitation to spend 30 days in God's Word. And as we head into the holidays, this is the perfect time to make scripture a daily habit. So join the 30-day Bible Story Challenge on Hallow
featuring stories voiced by Lauren Daigle, Jonathan Rumi, Father Mike Schmitz, and more. Come join millions around the world for Global Bible Month and download Hallow for free at hallow.com/Mari.
And then the other thing that we love to do is go to confession, especially if it's been a while or even if it hasn't. We love to go to confession right before Christmas to make sure that our heart and our soul are just completely open and ready and in a state of grace to receive Jesus on Christmas. The way I look at it is kind of like tidying your home before a guest arrives. You spend so much time clearing out the clutter, deep cleaning, making sure that everything is neat and in order so that when your guest comes, they have a really beautiful home to arrive to. That's the way my mom, at least, always taught us, and it's always stuck with me. Like, our interior heart and soul and life should also be tended to and tidied up and deep cleaned and prepared so that Jesus can have a wonderful and comfortable place to be in your heart. I love thinking of Advent as this basically like little retreat in the middle of your chaotic life or in the middle of like the crazy holiday season, and just a reminder that we can bring prayer and faith and holiness back into this season that has become so secularized. So one of the other things that we try to do to be really prepared for Advent is to have all of our Christmas shopping done over the Black Friday weekend. We have a large family, and so we have a lot of Christmas shopping to do. So if you don't have as much Christmas shopping to do, then maybe you don't need to do this and it's not a point of stress for you. But just on Trey's side of the family alone, we have like 13 human beings to gift. And then on my side, we have another 5. So we have a big list and we start thinking of gifts early on in November. And then we make our whole list and we're ready on Black Friday weekend and Cyber Monday to buy everything at the greatest prices to save a little bit of money and to then just also have that checked off our list so that we can then go into Advent, like literally knowing that our biggest priority is to be prayerful and to prepare our hearts and to spend time actually living out this liturgical season instead of feeling rushed to get a bunch of stuff done on our to-do list before Christmas. Another way that you can live out Advent is by inviting some friends over for an Advent brunch. I feel like this time of year, there's a lot of Christmas parties or Christmas sweater parties, cookies, and all the Christmas things, right? But Advent, as it usually does, gets swept under the rug. And so our first year of marriage, we hosted an Advent brunch for just one other couple. I think we had invited two, but the other one couldn't come. So one other couple came, and it was simple and beautiful, but it was just so nice to have community with us celebrating the liturgical season. And we had a really nice brunch. And then at the end, I pulled out one of the devotionals. I can't remember where it was from. Maybe that one was from Ave Maria Press. And they just had like these little written reflections with discussion questions. And so we just read one of the reflections and then asked them the discussion questions and just chatted about it after we ate brunch. And it just made for great conversation and just allowed us to connect with our friends on a faith level. At this point in our culture, we live in a culture that just rushes past Advent. So these intentional acts that we're doing in our home and in our lives to remind ourselves of what truly Advent is all about is a beautiful way to actually stay rooted in liturgical living. I hope that this was helpful in sharing a little bit more about why we celebrate Advent and how to celebrate Advent in your home. If you're looking for any more inspiration from prayer guides to specific prayer cards that you can cut out and have in your home to pray as you light a candle, or just more ideas on how to celebrate the Advent and Christmas season, we have our Heaven and Home magazine that we just launched this year, which has so many ways that you can live Advent and Christmas, and it has a whole Advent spread on the Advent wreath and 4 different ways that you can decorate your Advent wreath. And like I said, different prayers that you can do and different saints that you can pray to over Advent, as well as some devotional reflections and just a ton of fun different practical spreads like recipes and hosting and home decor ideas. So go ahead and check out the magazine, Heaven and Home. We're so, so, so excited about it. Again, I hope that it's still in stock by the time this episode comes out because it's also been selling fast. But that'll help you live out a beautiful Advent season as well. Alrighty, you guys, until next time, I pray that your Advent is just going to be so full of peace and preparation and that beautiful anticipation that just reminds us that Christ is coming. And with that, we'll move into Everbe Answers. All right, it's time for Everbe Answers now. I love this segment. And for today's Q,
For today's cue, I've never said that before in my life. For today's question on Ever Be Answers, I'm actually going to pull from the Fresh Start Dating Conference that we were just at this last weekend. Also, I had some people ask, is it for dating couples or is it for singles who are wanting to date? It's for single Catholics who want to find other single Catholics. So that was a fun experience. And we were on a panel and one of the questions that was asked was really good. And so I thought that I would bring it up to chat about here. And the question is, can you talk about how to sustain long distance dating? Because I don't want this relationship to be fabricated or not authentic when the only times we're seeing each other is when we're traveling to see each other. I want to see them in their day to day. How do you make sure that this long distance relationship is real and how do you sustain it? That was a question that was asked. And there were a few people on the panel, Trey and I included, who did long distance for part of their relationship. And one of the biggest things that I think was important, and Emily Wilson answered this, this part of the question, and was that long distance relationships are not fabricated. It's not fake. It's as real as you can get because it's hard. It's not easy. And so you have to give a lot of yourself, expend a lot of energy, a lot of intentionality, and you really have to be in it in order for the relationship to sustain and to thrive and to go well. Like at some point, all you're doing is talking, right? So at some point, if that withers away, you don't have a relationship anymore. So if anything, it's almost like the relationship is more real, you could almost argue, in long distance because you don't have those daily or weekly in-person touch points to kind of keep that going, to be doing activities together, to have that physical connection together. It's purely communication and emotional connection and, I mean, spiritual connection, right? So there's that. And some practical tips I have if anybody out there is doing long distance. Well, the first thing I answered, which I'll just say as a blanket statement before I get into any tips, is I know long distance sounds scary and makes a lot of people not want to do long distance, but you know that you have met the right person and long distance is on the table. But not being with that person feels more heart-wrenching than going through the difficulty of long distance with that person. Like that's what happened when I met Trey and we had to do long distance. Like we met, we started dating 2 months after we met, and then we had a month of school left. We had literally about 4 weeks of school before we went on summer break, which was what, 2 or 3 months? We lived in separate states. And then that fall, I was going abroad and studying abroad for a semester. And that was 4 months. So it was like the first 6 months of our relationship were basically all long distance. And we had to make that decision when we were deciding whether we should date or not. We were like, does this even make sense? Like, how are we going to jump into a relationship all long distance? Like, maybe we just revisit when I get back from abroad and see if something's still there, right? To make it quote unquote easier on us. And as we got to know each other and as we started dating and even those first 4 weeks of dating, I mean, I fell in love with that man so quick. And I literally was like, I could not bear like not talking to each other or not dating for the next 6 months just out of fear of long distance being difficult. So if you have that feeling, you know you're with the right person and you know like, you just got to face the long distance and do it as best you can because at some point it will end and it will be so worth it. Okay, two tips I have for long distance dating. One is have super clear expectations laid out for the period of long distance that you're about to have before you go on it. Trey and I had different periods of long distance throughout our dating relationship. Those first 6 months were one. Every summer were some because he always was working at a Catholic summer camp, Life Teen, and I was always doing some sort of other internship in different states. So those were 2 months apart or 3 months apart, and they were in very unique settings. And then our first, not first 8 months, was it our first? No, not our first 8 months, but 8 months of our engagement were long distance. The last 8 months of our engagement were long distance. He was in school, finishing up school, and I was already a missionary with Focus. And so all those long distance periods looked very differently. So our expectations looked differently. And mostly it was like expectations around communication, because again, that's 90% of what's happening in a long distance relationship. So you need to be secure and know what is my expectation. Things that we would talk about is how often do we expect to be talking via text versus phone call versus FaceTime versus like intentional date night versus just like a quick call to check in, right? And it looked differently for every season. So when Trey was being a summer missionary camp counselor at Life Teen, we barely talked because he was busy at camp all day. So we said, send me a morning and night text. And at night, some of the days we might be able to call if it wasn't super late. And so I already knew these 2 months were going to be much less communication. And obviously, we're still free to text each other in different breaks throughout the day. Hey, I'm thinking of you. Hey, this happened. Hey, miss you. Hey, praying for you. But we knew those like more intentional conversations weren't going to be as frequent. And we knew that beforehand. So it made it easier to go into it because we learned this through trial and error. The first time we did this, I was upset because I'm like, why do you never respond to my text? Or why aren't you calling me? What's going on? And he's like, I'm just super busy. I'm like, well, you need to tell me that. You know what I mean? Or else I'm not going to know what to expect. So we learned it through trial and error. And then, for example, our 8 months of dating long distance looked very different. And he was in school and I was working. But we were also planning a wedding and preparing for marriage. And so we were really intentional. And we set the expectation beforehand that we were going to have one night a week where we had basically a date night. And that was always our date night week. And it was on the calendar. And it rarely ever got interrupted. And we would rotate between a fun date night where we would just chat or maybe play a game or something, somehow make a fun date night out of it via FaceTime. Or we would do wedding planning and talk about specific action items that needed to happen for wedding planning. Or we would do marriage prep because we had a really unique marriage prep situation since it was in the middle of COVID. We actually didn't have a priest walk us through. We had to do it ourselves. And so we would intentionally watch our video, go through the questions, have discussions, solve the problem by ourselves. Yeah, those different periods of long distance looked very differently. But biggest piece of advice is to set that expectation of talking before the period that you're about to go into. My second piece of advice is always have a date that you're going to see each other next before the last one ends. And I would say, like, you don't have to buy the flight, but like talk about like, okay, when's the next time we're going to see each other? Don't let it float because that's really hard. Like you want to have a date that you're like getting to, that you see in the future, that you're excited about, that you're counting down for. That's really helpful too. So there's not these like really long periods of open-ended, like, I wonder when we're going to see each other next, because that's really hard. All right, that's what I'm going to answer on Everbe today. And then for Everbe answers, Trey had the phone of questions. So I'm going to try and remember what they were. I believe one of them was, if you had to give your 23-year-old self advice, what would it be? So we went deep into that. That was a good one. We already recorded it. And then the other one was how to maintain long-term friendships with people who aren't Catholic in your life and you don't share the same faith. So those will be answered on the after party with Trey and I. If you want access to those, make sure you go to the link in the show notes to join our Kingdom Club, which is our Patreon community. And you can watch all the videos of all of our podcast episodes and tune in on those after party bonus episodes, as well as you can ask the questions yourself if you are a Kingdom Club member. We put up a question box every single week. And you get to ask questions yourself, and we'll answer those every week at the after show. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverbePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.